guy is very low. I don't feel like I'm sure.
the bank.
Thank you very much, the delegation from the Department of Military Veterans. We see new faces here. Maybe what we should start by doing is just to introduce yourselves once more, and the honorable members will also introduce themselves for who you benefit. Over to you,
Mr. DG. Thank you, Chair, honorable members. And if I may introduce the team, we are currently tongue-in-cheek, so to speak, all of us actors coming from the Department of Military Veterans, from the acting DG. To my left, I have Mr. Jacobs, who's the acting branch head of Employment and Stakeholder Management. Mr. Jali, who is in charge of Beneficiary Support. Ms. Nyororo, who's the acting branch head for Social Economic Support. Ms. Tindisa, further down, is the acting director of finance, and Mr. Rampele from the department, the director of planning. Those are the members from the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And lastly, well, I couldn't be here. I thought the lady she has decided to leave this committee room. Ms. Mwatuli is the director in the office of the director general. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Marcus Tinin Freeman, the chairperson.
Member of the committee.
Morning, my name is Proposer, a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. The committee will go straight to the business of the day.
Thank you. So if we may, I'm not sure as to how to present it. Well, they're still trying to set up, but I believe you do have copies that were made, so we will then go straight into it. I would wish to go straight to slide number 5 in terms of the overall performance of how the department performed in the previous reporting period. The department had set itself 25 targets and was able to achieve 17 thereof, that constituted 68%. And the program on administration achieved 79%, which was 11 of the 14. Socioeconomic support achieved 60%, where the plan target had been 5, and they only was able to achieve 3 thereof. And employment and stakeholder management was at 50%, because they had 6 and they only achieved 3. So what we need to see in terms of where we have come from, which is would be another slide further down. You will recall in the 13-14, the department received a disclaimer. And in this current audit cycle we are reporting on, we have moved from a disclaimer to a qualification. There were two major qualifications that created this. It was our asset as well as transfer, which the department is currently working on to try and ensure that in the next audit cycle that is coming up very soon, we should have cleared on those ones. But in looking at the achievements that the department was able to to reach, we had 693 military veterans that were able to access social relief of distress through the DoD's SATA program. 6795 military veterans were provided with access to health care. We did provide an additional 1,803 health cards. Veterans, 645 military veterans and their dependents did receive these bursaries. 9 houses belonging to military veterans were rescued from repossession. 2,450 military veterans accessed training and skills development. We were able to the department to register 97 cooperatives of military veterans. 1,700 military veterans accessed job opportunities. A total of 31.9 million rands was transferred by the department to the Department of Human Settlements as top-up funds for construction of houses. 2 memorial plaques were unveiled. 107 private sector companies entered into partnership with the department. As at the time of reporting, 57,800 military veterans were still listed on the National Military Veterans Database, with 21,322 personal files thereof having been updated. 1,343 military veterans access counseling services, and we provided burial support to 160 to deserving military veterans. In terms of selected, performance data, selected indicators, access to healthcare, as we have indicated, the actual, if one looks at what had happened in 13, 14, 4,719 had access, but in 14, 15, 6,795, and then military veterans with decent housing, as has always been reported here, our issue was the only houses that the research department had been able to report on were the only two in 13-14. Despite the fact that the department had transferred funds to the Department of Human Settlements, we were not able to have houses that were built, that we, where military veterans could have benefited. And was where that the follow-up is now being followed up with specifically the provincial housing department to indicate to us what they had done with this 31 million that had been transferred through to the provincial DHS offices. Access to training and skills development was moved from 1270 in 2014 to 2450. And one of the issues that has come up is the memorial site. We're actually able to achieve planned targets of 2. And as we indicated, total number of private sector companies and organs of state in partnership with the department moved from 10 in 2013-14 to 107. With respect to contribution to the executive authority's priorities to ensure a fully functional department, we continue as the Department of Military Veterans to grow in the mandate of Military Veterans Affairs to become fully-fledged department. And our staff complement at the 31st of March was 131, composed of members in the National Office as well as the provincial offices. Our own transversal systems are up and running now with accounting systems and office accommodation specifically at the HQ, and this is aligned to outcome 12. With respect to provision of immediate social relief of distress, we did collaborate with the DMV with SASA in the provision of this benefit. where 693 military veterans during the reporting period were recipients of the SR team, which is aligned to outcome 7. On priority 3, the provision subject of availability of resources, a comprehensive support service to military veterans when applicable to their dependents. We provided access in terms of health support to 6,795 military veterans, cards 1,803, health cards, counseling services 1,343. In terms of honoring and memorialization, we were the front runner in the 50th commemoration of the execution of the first Mkhonto we Sizwe, and also participated in the annual commemorations for fallen soldiers during World War I and replaying ceremonies across the country. With respect to education, training and skills development, 640 bursaries were provided for military veterans and or their dependents, 2,450 military veterans trained and skilled in solar geyser, sewing, welding, driving, construction and maintenance, business skills, variety of short courses, workshops by ARC, and later on provided, especially the members that had gone for the short courses with 6-term contracts at ARC. That's the agricultural research council. Apologies. Facilitation of employment placement, 1,700 military veterans access job opportunities on security, agricultural research council contract workers, construction and maintenance. We appointed some of the military veterans at the head office. Permanently they appointed a military veteran by the Mokale City Municipality as well as with Samba. The facilitation of or advice on business opportunities, 97 cooperatives were registered as in, with respect to housing. 31.9 million rand was transferred to the Department of Human Settlements as top-up funding for the construction of houses for military veterans, and 9 houses belonging to military veterans were rescued from repossession. On burial support, we were able to provide the Department of Military Veterans 160 of such a nature. On the issue of the pension, a draft pension framework was finalized and it's still with the executive authority. On promotion of employment programs for end of military veterans, 78 new service providers providing skills programs for military veterans were secured, and 24 new military veterans were registered as service providers on the DMV supply chain management database. On promotion of heritage of military veterans and memorializing and honoring military veterans, the 50th commemoration of the execution of the first Mkhonto we Sizwe, namely Mini, Comrades Mini, Kayingo and Kaba, the 25th commemoration of the anniversary of the slaying of Comrade Anton French in a battle with apartheid police in Athlone in 1989, were commemorated, and the annual commemorations of fallen soldiers of World War I and wreath-laying ceremonies at various sites across the country were held, and the first anniversary of the passing away of Dr. Nelson Mandela was commemorated as well. In terms of the to promote empowerment programs for and of military veterans, 604 military veterans were trained in sewing, welding, driving, the solar geyser training project, and 47 military veterans attended training courses organized by the Department of Trade and Industry. 162 military veterans have provided evidence of registration of cooperatives, and a draft plan was developed for visiting the province. This was done in order to provide training for military veterans who have shown an interest in registering their own cooperatives. A list of 850 military veterans and their dependents was made available to the service provider to conduct shortlisting and submit project plans for their training in various skills programs. the maintenance of a credible and secure national military veterans database. To date, 21,322 personal files for military veterans were updated out of the 57,800 records. The process to verify the bona fides of military veterans who neither demobilized nor integrated in 1994 to facilitate inclusion of their names in the database is in progress. The verification process, we must state, is still ongoing. Implementation of a high impact communication and marketing strategy and plan in embracing the social media strategy and integrated communication strategy and plan was rolled out during the 14-15 financial year. Through the newly established websites, social platforms such as YouTube, Facebook and Twitter, Honor Magazine, utilization of mainstream media such as adverts and editorial platforms on the SABC TV and radio stations was undertaken. Community-based media, use of national and regional print media was utilized, and this has shown a steady yet significant progress so far in at least ensuring the visibility of the department. With respect to human resources or employment and vacancy cuts as of the 31st of March, the number of approved posts on the department's establishment is 169. As of the 31st, the number of posts that were filled was 131, with a vacancy rate of 22. But over and above, we had a number of employees who are additional to the establishment, which are our contract workers, as well as interns and learners, which made up the 61. The equity steps are indicated in slide number 22. And then I will go to the financials on 24, on the appropriation statement. In the financial year 13-14, the department did not perform very well, which was one of the issues that led to the disclaimer, and funds that were returned to the National Revenue Fund came to 185,498,000 rand. In the 2014-2015 year, a significant improvement that which we wished to bring to the fore was that we were able to then underspend. The underexpenditure was at 41,940,000. Next one is on compensation of employees, as is indicated there. The goods and services, transfers and subsidies, payment of capital assets. All findings, our colleagues from the Office of the Auditor General of South Africa is at the 31st of March. As I indicated earlier on, in the 14-15, the department received a qualified audit opinion as expressed by the Office of the Auditor General of South Africa, which showed an improvement as compared to the previous financial year, and we feel that this is a clear shift from the disclaimer that was received in 2014 to a qualification audit opinion, and we feel that I'm not just going to rest on our laurel because we need to go to that stage where we come up and be able to say we have not received a clean audit. The audit findings, during the 14-15 financial year, the AGSA highlighted the following key aspects for consideration. Movable, tangible capital assets on our annual financial statements and transfer payments. On the predetermined objectives, it was measurability of indicators, the reliability of reported performance information. On compliance, it was the annual financial statements, performance and annual reports, our budgets, our expenditure management, our asset management, our procurement and contract management, our human resource management, asset management, transfer payments, internal audit, consequence management, internal control, leadership, financial and performance management, and governance. And these are indicated as in the next slide on number 29, because these suddenly became came out in particular as our repeat. These were repeat findings in terms of the auditable area. And you notice that they keep on coming up in 1314 and in 1315. On slide number 30, we have started looking at the mitigation strategies to resolve these audit outcomes. On capital and minor assets, the audit outcome is assets procured not traced to the asset register, which created the limitation. Other than the mitigation strategies, the asset management team was appointed to develop a comprehensive asset register as part and parcel of our operation clean audit, operation excellence. The supply chain management procurement processes, inadequate procurement process, non-compliance, irregular expenditure, that the log system is not in use, limitation of scope, filing system, commitments and accruals, the supply chain management policy that is still in draft, procurement plans that have not been submitted. In terms of our mitigation strategies, we looked at saying that a procurement of an electronic procurement management system should be entered into. Training of the supply chain management of officials must be embarked upon. Procurement plan submission for the 15-16 financial year, and to more or less intensify on operation excellence. And then the accrual listing to be developed. Review our supply chain management and finance dedications. On transfer payments, there was non-compliance overstatement in correct classification. Mitigation strategies now is we are doing regular monitoring, assurance certificates, quarterly reports, which are now being requested on a monthly basis. Payments not settled within 30 days. The mitigation strategy is there to appoint the appointment of service providers to set up and improve internal control systems through the operation excellence, which was part and parcel of our turnaround strategy that we have presented to the committee previously. On finance, there was misclassification, understanding of funds, absence of approved policies and procedure manuals. Our mitigation strategy is to implement the implementation of policies, pardon, there's not policies, but policies and standard operating procedures. Misclassifications are being reassessed and generalized for corrections, and continuous checks are done. That operating procedures for journals developed, and then prior year errors corrected on the annual financial statements. On our policy, the relevance and reliability, that was the audit outcome, no authorization letters, no reconciliations performed in experience registers or healthcare registered, inadequate evidence for reported performance information, limitation of scope for KPIs, inaccuracies in the reported information, invalid reported targets, and absence of SOPs. As a mitigation, transfers to DHS and NSFAS in particular, engagement underway with National Treasury and NSFAS to obtain the required written assurance compliance certificates that are in that which we have done by way of transferring funds, they can then commit so that we can then be able to provide that type of evidence. To that extent, there's ongoing meetings with NSFAS as well as with DHS lately. The filing cabinets were installed. The list of military veterans who access healthcare is now available. Reconciliations are performed regularly, and an automated system is to be introduced. And I can report that, yes, it is now a reality. We have now started that one, and hopefully we'll be able to report on it in the next sorting cycle. On AWOPI, the PPIs 3602 through 2303, the database provided not agreeing with reported targets. We have indicated that the indicator will be reviewed to ensure that it meets the factor principles, that it presents in reported information level of the credibility of the database. This indicator has been removed as reflected in the 15-16 financial APP. But we have since been requested that this is something that we should not attend, so it is coming back. The draft policy document will be approved in this quarter that we are reporting on at the same time, in terms of the delay in submission of quarterly performance reports to the National Treasury and the Department of PPME. That delay has now been addressed. Although we have appointed some of the coordinators to assist in ensuring that information is gathered timeously, there is still one of the branches in the department where we are still trying to appoint a coordinator. In conclusion, honorable members, this performance report shows how the department has delivered 68% on its planned targets during the 14-15 financial year. But we're hoping that in the next reporting cycle, when we come back to the portfolio committee, especially when it comes to the AR, we should have moved tremendously from the 68% to ideally 100%. Thank you. We will take.
How do you identify that there are veterans doing training, for instance, on shore like and all the other
communities? Okay, sir. I do have my colleagues in that environment. If if you don't mind, Mr. Jacobs will address that one.
I want you to address it before
we detail. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as part of the process when military veterans update the details, it is there where they would come in and they would indicate their interest areas. In some instances, the information that is currently on the system indicates the different skills that they have, as well as if training is provided, what are the different skills that they would want to be provided in. And at the moment, you're also finding some of them come into the office with deliberate and direct requests, knowing that where government's priorities lie. So some would come in and indicate, we are interested in a program in your clean energy, solar water geyser training, and so we provide a response in that regard, and we then provide training which is available in those particular areas with the various institutions. So it is needs driven based on the database and on the request of military veterans as they come in, sir.
Thank you very much.
Honorable members, over to you. Honorable Israel.
Good morning to everybody. I just want to first and commend the department for the improvements that have been made and also the expenditure that has now been approved. And also the targets reached, although there's a query about the targets listed in the report, if it's actually accurate. But there's been an improvement generally in the department. However, there have been some serious concerns, and those concerns we have raised as a committee. We have also visited the department, we raised the concerns, and we expect the department to act upon those concerns and to take it up very seriously, because it's always in the best interest of the recipients of the service, that is the military vets, which is a special category of people in our country, and I think we owe that to them, and we've caused a number of delays in the delivery of services. So there's an urgency on the one side, and there's also the performance on the other side by the department that we need to always put under pressure to improve on those other targets that have been set. With that being said, I'd like to then just talk about the issues that are recurring. If we look at the list of issues, the list has not diminished a lot. And that's a concern for me. But this is still very long, Honorable Chair. And I think we expected at least 50% of the leadership to be cut out by now. So the occurring of serious issues like leadership issues, like the issue of we have financial and information performance, those things are critical to this department. Otherwise, we cannot report accurately and we cannot respond accurately to issues concerned. So I've got a bit worried about key areas that are not being addressed very, very quickly. Of course, the area that we had a serious concern in all departments, and particularly this one, was internal audit and controls. We insisted from the beginning that that must be sorted out as a priority, because that normally is a check on all the workings and operations of the institution, and it keeps people in check and prepares them for the external audit, and also for the AG report, and also for our reports. So those are important key positions and appointments that need to be done very carefully. And here I've got a concern also, the appointment of individuals in the department may not necessarily follow the normal procedure like other departments, because there is a military veterans requirement also listed as a preference. I don't have a problem at all with that. The problem I have is if people are competent to do the job. We cannot compromise any job, and particularly key positions, because somebody is a military veteran and has to be accommodated. And that is why when I look at the HR report and I see 123 people that needs training out of the 131, what did these people come in with? What skills? And what skills level? That we still have to do all the additional training. I don't mind additional training and improvement and developing the individual, but the basic job must be done effectively and efficiently. So recruitment processes, I think that needs to be reviewed very, 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 very urgently, and also with a very cautious eye on it of who is actually being appointed in those positions and can they actually perform the job. Department did indicate there's a skills audit underway. We'd like to have also a report on the skills audit. What is the skills audit actually produce, and if it's done independently or if it is done by the department itself? Preferably, it should be a third party that does an independent skills audit so that we can have an objective view of the situation in the best interest of the institution. The other one is we have not seen the forensic report, and that is the minister's decision on that matter, but there was certain, there was dismissal. It doesn't apply to last year's report, it applies to this year's report, but it has been because of issues in the previous year that led to that. So when we look at all the issues raised by the AG in terms of procedures and the absence of a long period of the CFO, impacted on a delay in the annual report being submitted last year. It also impacted on the reports, especially of the quarterly reports that have to be in, that came also late, that we had a problem of last year. So it had definitely impacts, and because of, particularly when it comes to the procurement and FEM environment. And this is raised by the transfer payments also made. Now, I've got a concern within the transfer payments is noted there, and we can check the report as well on that particular issue where it says in the AG's report and also in the report or the annual report of the department that transfers were made for things that were not budgeted for. Things that were not committed for by the budget and approved budget that were actually done. Now I'm asking the question, whenever transfers of monies or payments are made for other items besides the committed items of the budget, I term that as unauthorized. Now, in this report, there is no unauthorized expenditure. When something is not approved at all, has not been approved by station, which you are required to submit as by law, this has not followed the due process. How did the department achieve that? If they did it through the normal adjustment period, where they have the MTBS and where consideration for adjustments, that is concerned, and it's still approved by Treasury. We all know as a committee about it. And therefore, we find that within the program two, the variments that were made transferred from program one and program three were taken into program two. Program two still overspend on what it had. If you look at the other two, they transferred a lot of money, P1 and P3, but they underspent, even though they had less money to spend. So there's a key issue there that I'm worried about the how monies are being spent, and it must not be done simply to spend the budget. It must be done because we have planned for that spending. We know exactly where we're going to intervene and where we're going to make the difference. This does not speak, this budget and this report does not speak to good plan at all. So I need the department to look at that very carefully, and particularly our managers who are in charge of the different programs. The other one is also consequences. It's clearly noted in there. It has been noted, but it has not been implemented. We find there's a number of disciplinary hearings that have taken place. We haven't seen consequences. And I think it's now some of those things are running now for more than 12 months. There are suspensions on pay. We are paying a lot of money for people to be out there sitting at home doing nothing. Those things need to be concluded speedily, and particularly if there's evidence of serious wrongdoing, it should be suspension without pay. So I think we'd like to know why those suspensions are taking so long, because it's additional cost to the department, which can, afford to have unnecessary money sent. All these issues that have raised come back to high risk. And the high risk, again, speaks to a competent staff and experienced staff, which we are lacking. The mitigation has been put there that going ahead, we will employ. We got 131, but only 28 more spaces left. After that 38 spaces. That 38 spaces will be reduced to 28 when those different posts are collapsed, which gives us very little space to actually employ very good people. Now, I don't think we must make the mistake going ahead in employing the best people, but looking back at the skills or to address those that are not doing the job. And there's no procedure in the labor law to follow if people don't do their job properly. And I don't think anybody should shy away, because we're all here to serve the military veterans. This department was especially created for that purpose. And we cannot have officials and our workforce compromising that and undermining the military veterans. That cannot happen. So I think that is an urgent matter for me. We need to address it. We need to employ the best. The vacancy rate is still there. We have not achieved it. And maybe good, but it's not good. But certainly we need the best people for the balance of 22% vacancy rate that is employed. The task team that is going to assist the department to make the turnaround, I believe the names have been published. It's been out the questions posted. I did receive some answers. I didn't read it properly. But I would like the department to appraise us of the members and the sectors that it should come from. So that's been done already. The issue that I have also is issue chair of the issue here of the database. The database has been, according to the strategic plan, it's only going to be finished in 2019-20, 5 years later. And we're supposed to have achieved by the end of last financial year 80%. That was adjusted again to 75%. But unfortunately, we have now seen that the actual outcome is 67%, 21,232. I mean, that's ridiculous. We've asked that more hands be put on deck to deal with the database, because the database is a prerequisite for all service delivery, for all benefits. And as the longer we delay it, certain people benefit and others don't. They are denied benefits. And this is actually open to legal challenge. If I'm promised and I know I qualify, I can actually make a case against the department for denying me my rights. So that is actually a right. And certain people get the benefit and others are discriminated against. And I think the department needs to look at it very carefully. It's a matter of urgency. To tell people they don't qualify afterwards, I have no problem with that. But to deny him to be a military veteran, to be on a database, that is a problem for me. You can sort out anybody if they don't meet criteria, but don't deny them the right as a soldier and an ex-soldier to be a military veteran. That's their right. They have fought for this country. So I've got a problem with the database, and the card is being set, and the hands on deck. I think we need to increase, particularly in that area. And I'd like to know from the department, when we have 131 people, according to the report that we have, 61 additional staff today. How many of the staff is actually seconded? How many staff are contracted? How many are interns? Which areas do they actually service? According to my understanding, it is not 61, it's actually 95 additional staff that are extra in the department that's being used. So we have much more than what the complement should be, but how are they being utilized? We should have now performance, we should have productivity coming out there, and this should be done. So there are particular areas that we'd like to zoom in on, and we have to put extra people in there, and the people are there. Are they being used effectively for those areas of concern that we are concerned about, and of course, that will serve as an evidence. The MOUs and SLAs, I have not heard any report on that, and I think the department needs to explain to us. I know there's a special arranged chain that you have done for us. There will be an MOU and SLA, but I'd like to know for the past year how many were actually concluded. Because our last meeting we had in June, a number of the key SLAs and MOUs were not concluded, and others, new ones, were initiated. So I'd like to know what has actually been concluded, and of course, we will hear at the next meeting when we have the department to explain to us the rest of this year, which will be concluded. Going to the changes in legislation, policy and regulation, it's very clear from the document that the department has intention of the minister to look at the medical care and the burial support. That policy should not only be for the military veteran, but should include the family. And those things will also have financial implications on the benefits. So that policy we have not seen, but I see there's an alluding to the changes in that policy. What I'd like to raise in terms of the existing policy, when military veterans are employed in the Department of Military Veterans, is that also prescribed by policy, or is that just simply a reference? Or is that just an additional criteria set by the department? Because there's no criterion under the DPSA that anybody should be that. The DPS never prescribed as not being consulted in this regard, that there's special provision being made for military veterans only to be employed in this department. Secondly, how is military veterans' dependents employed in this department? By which policy? Unless we are clear about policy matters and we say and we make changes to it and we approve it and accept it, we are setting ourselves up for serious criticism. And we want to be fair to all parties, but it needs to be noted in a policy when we make certain decisions. So I'd like to know where that policy is. If it does not exist, then should that be also a consideration and needs to be justified. The issue that has come up also, which has not been addressed from last year and been going on for years, maybe just a response, maybe it is not the department's responsibility at this stage, but the minister. I believe I will be engaging the minister on the matter. There will be question time coming up in Parliament at the end of the month. The issue of reintegration. I think we need to put that to bed because we have approved as the committee, Honourable Chair, that the review must be done, the amendments of the task force, the sell by date, all those things must be scrapped. So all that legislation which refers to obsolete and which is of course time bound, that is now passed, that has been scrapped, including demobilization and reintegration. Reintegration in terms of the previous legislation now, that basically referred to non-statutory forces. The case on the table, which has been a problem for a number of years since 2002, and of course it comes on before 1994, is the SACC. The SACC has no formal structure, but I think there are still people out there that are calling for reintegration. And I think we need to address it frankly and say exactly where we stand on the matter, and then we can proceed. Otherwise, it just becomes a hindrance, and this proper needs to do and fulfill its mandate. Just carry on with the work that needs to be done. The other one is that there's a number when it comes to the issue of page 23 in this report. Of course, it's a different case of background. I just want to look briefly at the achievements. I'm very happy that people have received, but I think the question that has been raised all the time and that has never been answered, very frankly, is that all these benefits, 693 military veterans got SRD, 6,795 got health care, 1,343 had access to counseling, 1,803 were provided healthy costs. We go on with the list. First question is, who are these beneficiaries? And particularly if they come from NSF, NSF, or from previous, we want to know which nations they come from. Because certain of the nations feel they are discriminated against, they are not being treated as equals, and they are denied all these benefits. So we have to know, who are these people that are actually receiving all this? And of course, when we come to the issue of the healthcare services, Honourable Chair, we've had previously much bigger targets being set that's not been achieved. In this case, about 7,000, as less than 7,000 is fine, but my understanding was the access here, people received 6,795, but only 1,343 cards. No, what's that cards number? 1,803 cards were issued. Now, I had records from the department that 4,700 cards were issued, at one stage. That figure increased. Now, I'm not sure all the figures. I can go to all my reports, but definitely these figures are not reconciling the previous figures that were actually given that were achieved. It is not true what has been said here. If this is on the system, then all the previous reports are wrong. Then you have to say those numbers were thumbs up. They're not real numbers. You need to get rid of that history because it's actually on record. Also, the 6,795 who provided the healthcare services, how did they provide it? Were these people also compelled to produce the authorization letter? Because when I get phone calls from the hospital, I'm sitting here, I can't get in, I need a letter. What do I do? I can't get into the hospital. And I come from a country, and I know what. What is the procedure? We spoke about the issue with the department. How can we facilitate and help the military veterans? And they are, some of them are in a very desperate situation, not only socioeconomically, but also help us medically. Some of them in bad shape, and they need assistance, and they're not getting the assistance. How do we assist in that regard? So I've got a worry about this healthcare, and the number that I'm worried about as well. Others are fine about the job opportunities, etc. The one on housing, I don't know how calculations are done, but we have 31.9 million on the budget that has been given to DHS. And the 31.9 from the department side means that goes towards the top of which is about 78,000 rand, additional to the 110,000 given for the house by housing. That's a subsidy. So I'm saying if 1,987 houses need to be built from 31.9, that cannot be true because 31.9 divided by 78,000 is equal to 409 houses only. So this is wrong. Secondly, the target that was set was 550, it was 600, and then it was set at 1,000. And we know that was not achieved, except for 9 houses that were repossessed and 2 that were given in the previous year to 2 military veterans, one of the old guard, I think, World War II veterans. But clearly the figures are not accurate, and I think this is part of the problem that ACSA has, the AG, where they look at the reliability and to verify these figures and numbers and targets, it is not accurate, it's not reliable. And I think we need to tighten up those things, be realistic of what we can do, look at the money and calculate accordingly. So the housing is a problem, it's not being done properly. And I've spoken to also some of the meadows. The housing policy is not clear to accommodate military veterans. They can go on to RGP list as a normal person, indigent, and they can qualify for that. But there is no special provision. It's now been considered, but there are clear guidelines. And I'm now urging the department in terms of policy environment, in terms of guidelines, please give guidance to the local governments of what the objectives are, so that when they do the policies and they try to accommodate it, that it's not in conflict with all other policies that they have. And they can actually assist military veterans. Okay, Honourable Chair, I'll just continue then. Also, we promised the military parades, we're going to cut down on military parades, but we're definitely going to produce medals. And of the first medals that had to be used off the MK medals were also upper medals. What is progress in that regard? I did not see that in last year's report, and that was promised in last year. And should not only be limited to upper, but also to others as well. Then, of course, SANVA has issued us a brief report, which we see from SANVA. SANVA has lots of grievances since its inception, when it was formally launched last year, that they do not actually get the support they're supposed to get as the department claims it's giving. The department says it's supporting SANVA. SANVA says, yeah, here's the report, I've got the support here with me. I think all the members received it in the committee. This is the report of SANVA. Clearly, there are grievances, and they cannot perform their function as they're supposed to perform their function. And we have an understanding of what was really spent on SANVA, what support services did they actually get, and I believe they don't even have an office. So if we can get some clarity of what is the state of it has been launched in terms of the legislation. The appeals court, I just said that the people have been appointed, which means it's not functional yet or fully functional capacitated. Similarly with the advisory council, this nomination, the finalization process, I believe it should have been done before. Unfortunately, that has not been achieved. We were under the impression that that process was well advanced, but it's clearly not the case. Our provincial offices remains a problem, capacity, and also if you look at the budget, Honourable Chair, we find that a serious underspending when it comes to provincial accommodation. Why has that money not been used effectively to facilitate these officers to do their work properly in the provinces. And of course the department knows that when we have access and go out to all these military veterans all over the province, each province, we do have capacity problems. So why has the money not been used effectively to make it accessible and to reach out to the military veterans? And I think that is also one of the high risk areas noted, is actually communication and where military veterans are in rural areas. That's noted as a high risk, that they don't have access and they're not on the database. So we note the high risk, but we do not implement the strategies that can actually deal with the risk. And I think I've got a problem in the money is there, as a different case if the money is not there. So the money is there and it's not being used effectively. The one also here is the late submission. In the report on page 35, there's no indication that there were late submissions. It appears that if the annual report and quarterly reports were submitted on time, they were not submitted on time. In fact, we discussed the AR report in the new year. Is that correct, Honorable Chair, that we had the AR in the new year for the Department of Military Affairs? It was delayed. We couldn't discuss it by the end of the year. So there was clearly a sort noted in the report that there was a delay. And we understand the delay because of the CFO and all other preparations. But it must be noted in the report it was delayed. And there was an extension also given. Okay. So the extension was made, and of course the discussion coming to Parliament was not done except in the new year. Honourable Chair, I'd like to know also about pension detail. I believe that has been concluded. It's with the Minister. What does it imply? And also, of course, we know the official pension that goes for the NSF that concludes as an additional income for the MF, the military veteran pensioners. But how does this impact? What is the total that's being proposed in comparison to the state pension that is at 1,400? The Audit Committee, I think I've got a problem by page 29. If we can read the comments on page 29, where the Audit Committee says, during the 2014-15, there's been a significant improvement in the running of the DMV as a result of the oversight role played by the Audit Committee, ensuring that the internal controls and governance structures within the department are strengthened. That is not the case. The internal controls is actually one of the worst that we have. That is why we're sitting with all these issues. So the audit committee also needs to be checked for the job that they do. And it's a pity they're not here. They're not of the audit committee here. They concur with the agency report, but I'd like to know exactly what they do for the department to help improve the department. So the comment that is made is not that, because that is one of the issues raised that is recurring in the department, the internal controls and the governance. So it's not true what they are saying on page 29. The public opinion, I don't know how that's been assessed, but certainly there's no improvement. It was a -5. So if that's been assessed on the social media, then of course the communication and marketing effective strategy is not being effective, and people are not actually coming forward to comment on the department. So I don't know that strategy needs to be looked at or how that can be improved if the public opinion needs to be considered as well. All the departments are underspent. Within the department, there are certain programs that have been successful. There's been overspending as well on certain ones, and others underspending. On general, there's been underspending. 71%, 40%, and 50%. Those were the targets that were set, but if you look at the figures given, of course, the figure was given by the acting DG regarding the underspending, and of course in key areas that we have a worry of the underspending, particularly when it comes to provincial accommodation. When it comes to SOPs and policies, the administration is responsible for that, and there's also been underspending there. Why don't we get policy analysts and people to write for us, even if we have to do a, what we call service providers, specifically for a issue, deal with it, it's finished, we'll complete it over. Thank you very much. To get the job done. If the department is struggling to get it done, then they need to outsource services and get it done as quickly as possible. Because there is money available and it could have been put to good use. The issue here of employment, I've got here 1479. Employment and unemployment, reducing unemployment. The current figure that's been stipulated is not any more percentages. It's basically setting 2,000 and 1,700 has been set. But is that based on, from the department side, on only those people that have been verified out of the 1,232? is it taken from their database, or are there people that have slipped in that have actually not been verified that have either been given jobs? I'd like to know how did the department allocate it, and if it's from the verified section of the database. There's one number question which I would in a second number speak on the age of the report that I have noted, but I'd like to just mention also the employment equity. At this moment, if we look at the figures, we find that the 120 out of 131 are African. If you look at the others, there are four. If you look at Indian, there is one. If you look at, so figures that I'll give it to you is 91.6%, 3.1%, 0.76%, and 4.6%. Is this in terms of the employment equity that has been set by DPS? That has not been explained. We've been given a table, but there's no comparison being made to the demographics that the department uses for all departments to determine if they actually meet employment equity. So in terms of the act that has been set by the Department of DPSA, are they in compliance? The issue also on page 38 and 39, the targets are being set actually at two targets achieved. Page 39 indicates only one target achieved. So the 46% becomes now a 20%. Is that the case? Yeah, I finished that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that's really the first round.
Thank you. It's not time. It will be the third and the last case. Also speak for your colleague.
Randy has spoken for me. There's just two issues that I want to mention.
My
apologies. Just, I mean, my colleague has touched on all the issues. I think that is very important. Just on your slide number 28, where you talk about the audit findings. Now, I mean, if you look at that, it actually shows you that there are no organization in terms of from a management and governance point of view and compliance point of view. So it actually don't deserve to be a department if I look at this, and this is repetitive. And I want to say, although there was an improvement, you must not like kind of say, you know, we've achieved something, because it's still incredibly poor. And those who attended the Auditor General's report yesterday will agree that there's nothing to be thankful for. I think you've done something special. You've done nothing, because you are still way behind any of the others in the Department of Defense. Now, two points that I just want to mention. In those predetermined objectives, the fact that there are concerns about measure of indicators and reliability of reported performances, it means garbage in, garbage out. No reputable, no credible, no reliable information, so you can make no informed decision on that. And there's no wonder nothing happens. If you look at the next one, compliance, that list of compliance, I mean, that's an indictment. Just look at those things. The main thing that I want to ask, two questions on that one, is in terms of consequences of non-compliance. I haven't heard anything or seen anything in terms of consequences for non-compliance. Not just theory or in a group, but actual things that happens. And then, what is the plan? There certainly must have been discussions amongst yourself and decisions amongst yourself, say, how are we going to turn this around? Those indictments cannot go on like that. I mean, if I was the Minister of Finance, I would give you no money. Because according to this, you can't look after the money. Because you've got no systems or structure or anything to look after money. So surely, you must have discussed this and say, here are our action plans to turn this around, and what is the time frame? Not to have a slight improvement, but to come out of and get a clean audit. I'm going to keep with that, because the rest I think my colleague has done, and I'm going to, you know, I've listened to the chairperson. He made a plea with me that I...
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Murray, Honourable Kosa.
Thank you, Chair. Next time you must start with me. Because if you start with this, I was giving a lecture. Okay, let me say that, Jefferson, it's true. There's an outcry that the Department of Military Veterans is only taking care of the MK members only. The other members are not being taken care of. Your others, your Tatwana group, and so forth. So I think having given us the numbers, please finish us with the list so that we'll be able to verify this, if indeed the outcry is true or not. To me, coming to the improvement that the department is talking about, to me, there's no improvement at all. This is just a shift from the previous year, the previous financial year to this year. It's just a shift. How can there be an improvement? Maybe if the department can come clear in terms of the issue of the CFO, what is happening with the issue of CFO? I think it has been going on for quite some time, and if the issue of the CFO is not being finalized, clearly you're going to have problems, because there's no one that is going to monitor properly. You keep on putting people to act, change, and all those things. Maybe you need to come up clear what is happening with the issue of CFO. Because as I'm talking to you, I believe the CFO is sitting at home on a special leave for how long? I don't know whether it's a special leave or it's a suspension. I don't know, but the department, I believe, knows better. Hence, you find a department like your supply chain. There's always a problem in supply chain. And you need to come out clear. Yes, you mentioned that supply chain is not complying, but you need to come out clear. In terms, how are they not complying? You see, is there someone that goes to them and say, hey, pay this person, even if this person is not supposed to be paid, or give this person a job and then pay him the following day? Because these are some of the issues that are coming out, that you'll find there are companies that are being put in there within a very short space of time. The job is not done, but they are being paid. And then you expect to come out with an unqualified evidence. It's just the rest, chapters in my colleagues have covered me. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it would be Eric to be the last word. I think the interaction was very comprehensive, and I see there are some members of the Cohesion Self-Defense Unit amongst us, and I hope they'll benefit a lot from the information that they get from the department. We interact with them several times on several levels, and this is, I think, another form of interaction with them. You are welcome. HDG?
Thank you, Chair. I do have my questions. I've been taking notes where I fall short, they will be able to assist. In providing maybe specific answers. But I think what I'm going to try and do, Chair, is to maybe take some of these issues so that at least, I mean, we can then work through, because it's quite extensive which has come out. The first part I wish to reiterate, as was indicated, is the issue of the amendment to the Act. We have made provisions, and the documentation is now in the office of the executive authority, simply because of the outcry by members of the military veterans community to say, in certain respects, the current policy legislation is not covering everyone. So hopefully it will be finalized. We are engaging with the office of the minister to then approve that, I mean, the necessary legislative processes can be followed so that an amendment can take place. That is that one. And then there was the issue of Salva. And Mr. Jacobs is in a better position, because as the acting head of the stakeholder management environment, that's where the direction is, and we can be able to indicate, if we do have exact figures of how much has been spent on some. Now we have to understand, in terms of the law, AMPA was set up in a conference in October 2013. AMPA is composed, it's an umbrella association of all military veterans formations. MK, APLA, CMVO, Aganda, and in the most recent case about a month or so ago, Mr. Jacobs, the RACC MVA was a factor as well, so that in one form or the other they should be able to benefit. The leadership has been appointed and approved, and as we speak they are in their first meeting since their inception, after their appointment until tomorrow, where the new leadership is now plotting the way forward in terms of how they will be able to assist. And in that environment, Mr. Jacobs is better placed, because even the comrades sitting across in that particular conference, the setup that took place right here in Cape Town, the Khoisan as well as, I know that there was a grouping that called itself the Khoisan, so I'm assuming that they are representatives thereof. So,
yes.
They were part and parcel of the total the steering committee and every other thing that forms now today the leadership. I'm assuming that because they had a whole 2 weeks there of to do the necessary preparations before we took them to conference. So when it comes to this allegation that only MK is benefiting, I wish to place it on record. That is not taking place. As I've indicated, the SACC MVA is in session as we speak in the Eastern Cape. The CMVO, when it wants to hold its own meeting, it is assisted by the department. When Aganda wants to have its own meeting, it is assisted by the department. When APLA wants to have its meeting, it is assisted by the department. When MK wants to hold its meetings as well, it is assisted by the department. So this issue of the discrimination, I wish to place it on record, that it is not it's non-existent, except if, there is now other new formations that are not within the umbrella association, as we have indicated, but are not benefiting. Then, at least if it is made available to the department, we would then be able to interrogate. But the founding members of what constitutes some are being assisted by the department. The issue of LCM and payments. One of the challenges, honorable members, despite the numbers that have been indicated by honorable in terms of the department, the organizational design, when it was then approved, created a serious mismatch in that when all is said and done, as you were asking earlier on, Honorable Saul, the department has in its environment, in its organizational structure, a deputy director that is supposed to run the whole of SCM for the department, and with three assistant directors. To that extent, one of the things that we have had to do, because if we look at what should be, and I think even in yesterday's and previous interactions to this committee and to all other committees, we have indicated that this is a very unhealthy relationship to have in that environment, because there are certain parts for you to be able to say you want to minimize the risk. Hence, to a great extent, we have taken learnerships for contract workers in particular. But now what then happens is, because of the law and legislation, only these four in particular are authorized to then interact on the system. To that extent, a decision was then taken, and we had Mr. Libero seconded to the department, from the Department of Defense, who is a governance, risk and compliance specialist, to try and assist the department in getting its LCM practices in place. But we want to bring it to the attention of the Referral Committee, wherein we are actually even requesting the assistance of the Referral Committee. We have now engaged vigorously with the Department of Public Service and Administration on looking at the reorganization of the organizational design of the department. We are at that point where now we have provided them with our own service delivery model, and we are now awaiting their own proposed organizational structure that at least should be able to drive the department. And hopefully we're hoping that we will finalize this before the end of the financial year, so that at least there can be some consideration that means something that can then happen in the new financial year, if at all. And we do, I mean, take cognizance of the austerity measures, but we have even elevated this at National Treasury during their government budget, even during our admission on the MTEF. So we're hoping that, I mean, this will receive the type of favor that it requires. The assertion that comes up to say maybe we should not, if it was the Minister of Finance, we should not be receiving any funds on the issues that were raised by the other honorable member on slide number 28. We did come in the previous audit cycle, that is 13-14, we took cognizance of the fact that the minister was late because of the issues that they were raised. But we wish to place it on record that the 14-15 was submitted on time. So that at least it is clear. So we did not think that it would become important that we note it in our 14-15 annual report that in this particular year we have submitted on time as prescribed by legislation. The vacancy rate, we have gone out on adverts and we have closed, and shortlistings have now taken place. And when one considers some of the posts that have been advertised, the majority of those particular posts, as was indicated even by our colleague yesterday from the AG, these are senior management service posts. We've done the shortlisting, the paperwork has now been sent through to the Office of the Minister for the finalization. And to address the issue of the other honorable member for the issue of the CFO, once the disciplinary process had taken place and finalized itself, the CFO was dismissed. The post was advertised, it has been shortlisted, it's now sitting in the Office of the Minister for the now finalization to hold interviews, as are the DDG posts as well as the DG posts. So that is dependent upon the diary of the Minister to finalize, and do know how long it does take a time. I mean, just to get everyone to be in a position to sit and conduct interviews, especially for those particular posts. So those are posts that we have very great extent as the department. From an administrative perspective, the department has done all that it can. So it's now dependent on the executive authority to carry the work forward. Conflict management. This matter has always been raised in this committee. One of the issues that has come out, as I've indicated, yes, at times, I mean, because of the administrative hurdles that normally have to be followed in terms of the Labor Relations Act. Yes, the CFO has been dismissed. Another deputy director just received a confirmation of a dismissal just the day before from the Office of the Minister. Some other directors have been dismissed, and all those particular posts now means that some of them have advertised, some will now have to re-advertise. But yes, consequent management is becoming the culture. And where we are wrong as officials amongst ourselves, supervisors are now, compelled to be able to then take responsibility for the subordinates, because they have to report back to their own seniors to say, this is what I have done or I have not done. And hopefully the figures we started reflecting as we move on with these particular issues. On the employment equity stats, we will relook at this. We are aware that it's something that we definitely need to be looking at. Unfortunately, some of in trying to assist in terms of complying with the employment stats, some of the people who have been dismissed find themselves either they have resigned and they come from these other groupings. And hopefully when we do re-advertise some of one or two, we'll be able to ensure that we do comply. But as you have indicated, Honorable, the issue is being able to get the right candidate for the job to be able to do their work. In terms of the comm strategy, definitely it does need a review. And we ask you to note of your concerns on that one. You did mention the issue of the South African State Colored Corps Military Veteran Association. I've already spoken to that. On the matters of integration, I think the laws of the land that spoke to this, and I think the recent amendment here that has been tabled should bring to closure this whole issue. And by saying earlier on that we have now, the SACC MVA, we as a Department of Military Veterans is to ensure that whatever benefits that accrue in terms of the Military Veterans Act, the SACC MVA members will be able to access those particular benefits. When it comes to the issues of integration, I think the Defense Amendment Bill that has gone through, its processes, that is not in our domain to be able to talk to. But what we are saying is, given that we have brought the SACC MVA to conference, and then to ensure that they are recognized body under the statutes of the Act that governs the DMV, they will have to qualify for the benefit as for any other military veteran. The issue of who receives benefits, I will pass on to my colleagues to talk to it. I need to talk to this issue of dependencies on the other state departments. We have MOUs with DPW, but I believe we are coming back with our colleagues from those particular departments. The challenge that we sit with these particular targets today, ideally because of the amount that has been appropriated for the department, we should be having so many houses. In the previous, in this financial year that we are reporting on, 14-15, this was as the provinces in particular, human settlements provinces, we had indicated now we will be able to build so many houses. Hence, the invoices were received and we transferred the funds. Despite the fact that now we have subsequently interacted with National Treasury to try and rectify this issue. Now, the dependency on the department, on line functioning departments, to be able to deliver on some of these issues are the ones that at the end of the day create a problem in that it appears like this department is not functioning. Because we are dependent on human settlements to ensure that that which has been agreed to by way of in the MOU to say we'll build a 50 square meter house and every other thing, if they are not coming to the party, and we have now started, luckily enough, of recent in the past 6 weeks, we have had now formal interactions wherein we are now setting up proper steering committees. And if you look at our preliminary report in terms of the quarterly report, this department for the first time can now say it has delivered the first hand houses of many, which we did about 3 weeks ago in the Eastern Cape, wherein we know that now these are military veterans' houses as were built and designed and agreed to between the department as well as human settlement. And there is that envisaged rollout. We are all aware of the pronouncements that have been made by the Minister of Human Settlement. And that is why we are now fast-tracking that particular environment to say, let's see how fast and how best we will be able to deliver on the 5,000. But realistically, currently, in terms of the discussions that are taking place among the officials, it appears like we'll be able to, by the 31st of March, deliver at only 2,000. But those are ongoing discussions that have just started. The same thing that can be said again in respect of provincial offices, as you have raised it, Honorable Yourself. The challenge is we have an MOU with the National Department of Public Works. Department of Public Works is the one that is supposed to go out and find us offices. This has been an ongoing problem since 2012. And for the first time, and I can report this, only in the past month has the Department of Public Works started issuing out tenders for provincial offices. And I can say it, I think it's only four of the provinces. They have everything that we have requested over a period of 3 years, and it's only now, I can safely say it. But out of that, we have actually interacted, even ourselves as the department, with the provinces, such as in Limpopo, where in the set now we have identified this, hopefully we can be able to be given. Right now I think it's the Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape, Free State.
Free State, Northern Cape.
Closing on the 21st of October.
Northern Cape as well.
Northern Cape as well.
Very few, but I mean we are dependent on our sister departments to be able to carry out this work. And hence it faces this big problem where you say we can see the funds. Yes, we do have the funds, but then those funds are for office accommodation. But now if Public Works is not going to get off and start providing the offices as we have been requesting for the past 3 years, I mean this has gone on all the way even beyond the office of the head of Department of Public Works into the political sphere. So hopefully we should be able to get some form of offices in this financial year.
Honorable members, we have stamina, we can allow you to come down.
Okay. Well, I took it, there's about four pages of notes that I took as honorable resource. So I'm trying to go as quickly as I can. The appeal board has been appointed, the advisory council, we have been made to understand that has been appointed as well. On the medal parade, we are moving and hopefully we'll be able to report back to say when next are we starting with that. What we were looking at in particular as the department was actual service delivery. We are not saying this is not actual service delivery, but we are looking at the hard issues. I need to go back to this issue of the recurring issues. One of the issues that we had discussed was that I mean, we wanted to go into operation excellence. Technically, we have had challenges, but eventually the advert went out and it closed. And hopefully, we are hopeful that as we go into the next audit cycle, service providers will be in place to assist us to move much quicker so that we can turn the ship around. The transfer payments were spoken to, the list of beneficiaries are now available because that was one of the issues that we discussed with National Treasury and we'll be making it available to them. I've spoken to consequence management and then the turnaround strategy team. We will make the names available with every other team because we did not know that it is going to be a requirement for this particular meeting. The update on the military reference database. We have had challenges, and as we have indicated earlier, on the dependency on FITA. But late last night, we did receive a notification from the GITO that now automation is starting. But that has been one of our Achilles heels. So hopefully, in the next reporting cycle, we should be able to now show you that because most of the work that has been done has been handled. And it's reliable, maybe, I think that was one of the challenges. So we will now be speeding up on that one. On the issue of the MOUs, I think we request, because we are not prepared for that, we will then subsequently, if it's okay with the chair, to send them through.
No, we don't have
or to discuss them.
In our
this time program, we are there. Yes. Thank you.
The same with the
Kamba. Yes. Thank you. I think I've tried to cover as much as I can. I'm not sure if I've missed out on any.
Chair, I would.
Thank you.
I don't want to add anything, but I just want to make an appeal. I think DG has spoken at length on the SACP MVA matter status particularly. Just to highlight that because the Khoisan Self-Defense Unit is here, that with all the discussion and their presence on the steering committee, first deputy president of the SACP MVA is from the Khoisan Self-Defense Unit. So it would be appreciated that as we go forward in interaction, the structure that has been set up is utilized more effectively and efficiently. Otherwise, it created this junk that you have with an entity that is represented in a structure coming on one side where they have, at the level of the first deputy president, they are represented. So it's just that appeal that comes forward.
That is taken. Look, we there is another presentation that you are supposed to do.
Yes.
Which I want you to go straight to that presentation. I take it you covered what you're supposed to cover.
Yes.
If you're not, someone will continue to engage with you. And if we're not sure, we say that those which you correct must come to us in a written
reason.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair, if I may, I've requested the director plan to take the committee on our preliminary second part, because it still has to go through the normal motions of the DPME national treasurer. But when we saw it as an agenda item for today, we said usually what normally would happen is three minor variations once it has gone through the AG office, DPME, and national treasurer. So we said, it's not comfortable that they should then come and present it to the committee. So Mr. Rampele will do the presentation. Thank you.
Mr. Rampele. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to say to honorable members, this is the report from the Department of Military Veterans, second quarter. Without any waste of time, I will just zoom straight to slide number 5. It has got the summary of all the programs that you are offering in the department. And slide number 6 is about the Legion color coding. As you can see in the report, you have indicated where we have achieved, where we have partially achieved, where we have not achieved at all. Slide number 7 is about the overall quarterly performance review of the department. That we had all in all 20 targets, and then for this you have set 16 and you have achieved 10. 6 were not achieved. As a result, it made 3%. And when you go to slide number 8 about the selected performance indicators, there are targets that were not set for some of these indicators. But if you check on PPI 301, as you can see, we did not achieve as you have planned. And the last one also, we did not achieve as planned. And then when you go to slide number 9, we are giving a summary of Program 1, Program 2, Program 3. Now, under Program 1, we have got about 10 performance indicators. Out of them, 7 were achieved. 3 were not achieved. Which constitutes to 70%. Now, the one that were not achieved, like CPI on slide number 10, number 11, as you can see, PPI 107, 108, they were not achieved. So we want to make it very clear to the members that we don't hide anything in terms of why we did not achieve it.
And then when you go to slide number 13, it's about program 2. Program 2, social economic support, out of the fact that was said, we managed to achieve 2, we did not achieve 1 because there were 3 for this quarter. This goes you to 67%, and under program 2, as indicated earlier on that, on performance indicator 202, on slide number 13, that is why now we are indicating to the colleagues to say, thus far at the department, as compared to the previous years, we have about 10 houses that were allocated to military veterans in the Eastern Cape, which obviously will also roll on to the other provinces, not only concentrating on one. And the on slide number 16, we have got the overall performance of Program 3, which is empowerment and stakeholder management. The plan targets for second quarter were 3. We only managed to achieve 1. We did not achieve 2. We constitute 33%. On slide number 9, about personnel establishment, the salary level, which the honorable member indicated earlier on about what is basically happening in the department. So we are trying to indicate to say out of the approved post, 169, as of the second quarter in the department, this is what we have done, 134, the permanent post that has been filled, and the vacant as indicated earlier on. So at times the posts that we have collapsed, as indicated in especially if you check flag level number 6, they will collapse. How many will collapse? And then after they will collapse, what happened to the collapsing? And then you've got a column on additional posts for collapsing, and then total number of posts filled after collapsing because of the issue of the skills that we are looking at in the department. Now when you go to slide number 19, that in the second quarter we are trying to show the equity statistics. I know it is still a question mark, but we are trying our level best to make sure that at the end of the day, when we check the last but one column, total disabled as a department of 43, even if the prerequisite or the percentage there needs to be increased. Now, on slide number 21, about the expenditure for the second quarter, I can see in terms of the national norm by Treasury was supposed to be at 50%, but now it is 27%. But there are reasons why we did not spend as requested, as you will find them, to say why we did not. And then when you go, and in terms of the economic classification, about compensation, goods and services, transfers, payment to capital assets, we have broken it down in such a way that you can see under this, for example, CE, compensation of employees, what percentage, and then the variance there, and then at the end of the day, it goes back to the 27% that we have spent thus far. Sorry, 23%, not 27. Honorable Chairperson, thank you, sorry. Yes, that's the end of my question.
Thank you, it's a very short and straight to the point, sorry. Thank you very much. Honorable members, any comments, points of clarity? Honorable Isao, I understand you did lecture, I should have given honorable cause and test. You are covered. Okay. Honorable Isao.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think if we can have an idea, Honorable Chair, that the underspending I can see is steady there, and the reasons, just to have some of the reasons why the underspending, and of course what plans are in place to see that we get 100% spending by fourth quarter. So there are some reasons, there are good reasons for delaying that. For instance, transfers and subsidies. Normally there are issues with the agreements, etc., and there's a delay, but when it goes over within that financial year, and then of course you'll accomplish the 100%. There's transfers and subsidies to other departments and to other entities. wooden services, I think there was some misclassification done before, and I hope it doesn't happen this time around, because it's at 20%. And I've got a concern on that because payment per capita is fine. I see that's already spent. I don't know if there will be additional money also required. It's already at 93% in the second quarter. But if we can have an idea of the reasons for the underspending, and we'd like to, we heard the previous year, we heard the annual report of now of last year, and now come this year, we don't like to see any further underspending. So it came knocking down to 41 million, we'd like to see it at 31 million.
Thank you very much.
Yes. I will general spending is multifaceted. Because we have to first look at it. I will take the lower levels thereof. One of the issues that has come out in the investigation that we have done in the department is that we find that some of the service providers, and I'm talking to, earlier on, this issue of some of our military veterans entities that are registered on our system. Because of the economic environment in which they find themselves operating, when they do come to register, they've got a different, they give us a particular banking details which are kept out on the system. So they be successful in delivering services to the department. We have now established that some of them have since changed their banking details, never having come back to us. They have changed my banking details. Then when we make a payment as a department, the payment ends because that particular banking account is no more existent. Now that takes its own process because then we have to get him or her to come back and re-register and go through the normal national treasury processes of covering account and every other thing before a payment can be made. That is one of the biggest ones that we have just picked up. It even happens when it comes to the education support that we are doing. We have projected in terms of a service delivery. We found that, one of the issues is the schools, especially within the DBA environment, their accounts, account numbers of the schools as have been given to us, are not the same. But a one or a two makes a big difference on the national treasury system. And that becomes a process on its own, and it slows down the process of fair payment itself. And then now to come to the biggest, which is now the actual transfers. As I've indicated earlier in our discussions, I've had interactions with the Department of Finance, National Treasury specifically. We are engaging, as we have indicated, with the Department of Human Settlements, because we are going to couple this list, as we have indicated now. We do have the names of the beneficiaries, the education support, which was one of the qualifications, the previous financial annual report, as well as recipients to housing, which we are now making available across to both human settlement as well as national treasury, because that is a requirement for them to give us the necessary authorities. So we had said ourselves as the management that we are not going to wait until the last quarter. We need to ensure that we finalize all these transfers, because then the changes to the 23% to almost 99% should be effected before the 31st of December. Then it will give a different picture completely to what we are looking like currently. And that is what I wanted to talk to in terms of the understanding and how we are envisaging to change it. With the issue of the misclassifications, we've done quite a lot within the finance environment to correct all the misclassifications, and hopefully when we go into the audit cycle, that will be reflected to say we have done a lot in terms of correcting that, because that was one of the biggest pushes within the finance environment that has taken place. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we are done. The way comments from members, questions which we answered, I hope that will be very beneficial to you, so that when you come back to us, you would have corrected that, or you would have followed the good comments that the honorable members have given to you. And the comments were given in positive, and don't get intimidated. So next time, you need to tell us what you have done about it. Honorable members, I think we have done justice to this meeting, and our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. You need to have someone seen over your shoulder. Yeah. What happened out there? So it's a muscle to have a look at it. From the scenario, I'm going to have to look at it. But I don't know. For the South. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do it for my dad. I've got to see you.
I'm going to go to the next one. I don't know. I'm on the. No, no, no.